As we are going through the Bible, we've come this week to Ephesians chapter 5. And tonight we'll be studying the fifth chapter of Ephesians as Paul continues the walk of the believer, how we are to walk as children of God. And he deals with our walk in our interpersonal relationships. The latter part of chapter 5, he deals with how husbands are to treat their wives and wives to respect their husbands. He teaches us concerning the parent-child relationship. And so there's a lot of just excellent advice, family living in this fifth chapter as we look at the walk of the believer. This morning, however, we'd like to have you look with us at verse 15, where Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is talking about the believer's walk here in chapter 5. And he begins the chapter in verse 2 telling us that we are to walk in love. It is quite interesting to me that as Paul is talking about things that the world often calls love, he puts down and says we're not to be doing those things. And so the thing that he is putting down is fornication and sexual impurity. So often the world says, let's make love, and they're referring to fornication. Paul is saying that's not love, that's lust. And we shouldn't be doing that, but let's walk in love, true love, that doesn't seek to take advantage of another person's body. In verse 8, Paul tells us that we are to walk as children of the light. Now, in those days, they had the Society of the Mysteries. And they were secret societies that you were initiated into. The initiation rites usually took place in dark caves, and they were very lascivious. And so they called them coming into the Enlightenment in the secret rites of initiation, and you were threatened with death if you would reveal these mysterious secrets of enlightenment that were learned in initiation. Paul is saying we are to put off the works of darkness, and he makes reference to these secret wisdom, supposedly, that comes by these mystery religions. And he says that's not where it's at. It's interesting. The world calls it enlightenment. Paul calls it darkness, and the darkness of this present evil age that we look upon as enlightened age, but really it's leading back to the dark ages rather than into enlightenment. And then in verse 15, he says, now we are to walk circumspectly. The Greek word is akrabos. And this word is translated with different words throughout the New Testament. In Matthew's gospel, we read that the wise men came to Herod, and they inquired of Herod where the king was to be born. As Herod sent them off, he said, "Seek diligently until you have found the child." The word diligently is the same Greek word akrabos. Search diligently. So to walk circumspectly is to walk diligently. In Luke's gospel, as he introduces the gospel to Theophilus, he said to him, having had a perfect understanding. The word perfect there is the same Greek word akrobos. Having a complete or having made a careful search. Having now from that careful search a perfect understanding. Another translation says, since I have carefully examined the evidence. Carefully. So to walk circumspectly is to walk perfectly or to walk carefully. Finally, we read in Acts chapter 18 concerning Apollos that he spake and taught diligently about Jesus. The word diligent again is the word akrobos. And another translation declares, he taught about Jesus accurately. So all of these are defining, in a sense, this word circumspectly. We're to walk diligently. We're to walk perfectly. We're to walk carefully. And we're to walk accurately. To walk circumspectly is to be wise and not a fool. Paul says, redeeming the time. A fool kills time. Paul described your former life before you came to Christ as meandering according to the course of this world. That is, you were just killing time. Your life before Christ is a waste. Time wasted. How foolish it is for us to spend our time in other pursuits and only pursue a relationship with God when we are knocking on death's door. How much a person misses out on real living who doesn't pursue after God. To walk circumspectly is to know the will of the Lord. The wise man will seek to know God's will for his life, for this is the most important knowledge that you can ever attain. The fool stumbles through life blindly, never knowing why he exists. And never really caring. He just lives for the moment with no thought of eternity. To walk circumspectly is to be filled with the Spirit. The foolish world again is filled with wine that clouds their minds on the eternal issues. But the wise man is filled with the Spirit, which sharpens his mind on the things of the Spirit. If we are wise, we will walk as children of the light. We will walk circumspectly, which means we will walk diligently. I will seek to redeem the time. We so often hear today people say, well, I would like to do it, but I just don't have the time. And so often that is the excuse that people offer for not becoming involved in service for the Lord. Well, I would love to do it, but I just don't have the time. Benjamin Franklin made the statement, a man who is good at making excuses is seldom good for anything else. And when I hear people saying, well, I just don't have the time, I think of the song that they used to sing, time for business. Time for pleasure, time for going on in sin. Have you any time for Jesus? He is waiting to come in. And it is so true, people have time for their pleasures, for their life's ambitions and pursuits. But to pursue after things that are of eternal value, so often a person just excuses themselves. But we are told that we are to redeem the time. There are so many things that we do today that are, in the final analysis, just sort of a waste of time. They have no eternal value. I wonder how many accumulated hours were spent yesterday watching USC play UCLA. I would imagine that it took 3 hours by the time all of the TV commercials and everything were run. And if you multiply the number of people that were watching that game by 3 hours, think of how many accumulated hours were spent watching the game yesterday. And if you're an SC fan, then they were wasted hours. You felt so empty after that was over. And you felt, I've wasted the afternoon. It's too dark now to mow the lawn or to weed the garden. And I could have been doing something that would have had at least some benefit. How tragic, the time that we waste in life. David said, teach me, Lord, to number my days, that I might incline my heart to wisdom. Life passes so rapidly. Before we realize it, it's almost gone. What did I do with the time? How much of my life was spent in wasted time and energy? We have only one life. It will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ is going to last. How are we to redeem the time? By walking circumspectly. Paul tells us, beg your pardon, it was Jesus who said, the evil days are going to wax worse and worse. Paul tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. The Lord is coming soon. And when he comes, the only thing that's going to matter are the things that I've done for him. Life is really not like the fellow who said, God put me on earth to accomplish so many things, and I'm so far behind, I'm never going to die. Not true. We, all of us, will die one day, and unfortunately, we will probably just have to leave an awful lot of things undone. We need to redeem the time. It is to walk accurately. That is, to walk according to the will of the Lord. I want my life to follow precisely the plan and the purpose for which God put me here. It is not wise to leave God out of your planning. It is not wise to lean to your own understanding. It is wise that in everything to acknowledge him, because he promised he would direct our paths. If I walk circumspectly, I will walk perfectly, which means I will not be drunk with excessive wine. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. He who is deceived thereby is not wise. A man who is under the influence does not walk perfectly. He staggers. He stumbles. And so to walk circumspectly is to walk perfectly. How am I to walk circumspectly? First of all, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable me to walk circumspectly. I just can't do it in my own strength or ability. That is why Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. When he was writing to the churches in Galatia, Paul said that if we would walk in the Spirit, we would not fulfill the desires of our flesh. God speaking to Ezekiel the prophet concerning his nation Israel in the last days said, and I will put my spirit within them, and I will cause them to walk in my statutes. Through the power of the Holy Spirit within them, they would be able to walk in God's statutes. How am I to walk circumspectly? Well, by speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in my heart to the Lord. Psalms are usually considered the compositions of David, and how I love the singing of the psalms that we do here at the church. The hymns, the Greek word hymnos, songs of praise that are directed to God. We say, let's open our hymnal, and it is filled with songs of praise directed to God. And then spiritual songs, the Greek word is ode, and it's qualified by the word spiritual. They are songs that are intended to glorify God. In Psalm 95, David said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 105 declares, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all of his wondrous works. Psalm 147, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. We read in the Gospels that after the Passover supper, Jesus sang a hymn with his disciples, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. Wouldn't you love to have a CD of Jesus singing a hymn with his disciples? Oh, would I love that. One of the things I look forward to when I get to heaven is just singing with Jesus. I bet he has a great, powerful, lusty voice, and just, oh, I love that. He sang a hymn, and then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Singing is such an important part of worship. It's such an important part of our relating to God through songs and through singing. Paul and Silas were singing in the jail there in Philippi at the midnight hour when they were fastened in the stocks in the inner recesses of the prison. There they are, singing praises unto God. Paul admonished the Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. James wrote, is there any among you who is afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just sung a song unto the Lord, just you and the Lord, and sang a love song to him, sang to him songs of praise? Maybe when you're just driving along in the car, I'm sure people look at me and think, well, he's beside himself. Look at him, you know, he's just, you know, animated singing. But I love to just sing to the Lord going down the highway. Singing songs unto him, praises unto the Lord. You know, it's amazing. Singing is such an, you know, integral part of our lives. In other words, melodies have a way of just planting themselves in our minds. And so often we find ourselves just humming or whistling a tune subconsciously, not even aware of, you know, what I'm humming or whistling. And then suddenly we stop and think, oh, you know, where did that come from? Why was I whistling that? The other day I was whistling along as I was working, and suddenly I stopped as I stopped to think of what whistling. That's crazy. Why would I whistle that? That song was popular when I was in junior high school. Somehow it got stuck in the RNA, and, you know, and what in the world ever brought that tune out? Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambs Eat Ivy. Crazy. And I thought, I don't want to whistle that. And so I quickly changed the tune to whistle a praise unto the Lord. But I love it when I find myself just whistling or humming, and then I stop to think, oh, yes, whistling, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And songs of worship and songs of praise that are subconsciously just, you know, when you're not even thinking, and yet there it is, the worship and praise unto God, singing unto yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Great way to walk circumspectly. Songs of praise can turn the darkest night into day. It can turn the deepest sorrow into joy. It can turn defeat into victory. And then, keeping myself walking circumspectly, I do that by giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When am I to give thanks? Always. Giving thanks for how many things? All things. To whom do I give the thanks? God the Father. And how do I have access to him? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's will that we be thankful and that we give thanks always in all things unto him. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Writing to the church in Corinth, Paul said, I thank my God always on your behalf. It is God's will that we give thanks not only always, but we give thanks to God for all things. Writing to the Thessalonians, Paul said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I can only give thanks to God in all things if I understand and realize that all things are working together for good because I love God and he's called me according to his purpose. If that describes me, loving God, called according to the purposes of God, then I can be assured that all of the things are working together for good. Not always will it be obvious. Some of the circumstances will look rather distasteful. And we would want to sometimes question, where is God in this circumstance? But if I know that God loves me and he has allowed the things that have happened to happen, that he's in control of all of the circumstances of my life, he's on the throne, and that he is working out in this dire circumstance his eternal purpose in me, then I can give thanks unto God for even the testings that I'm going through, the trials that I'm experiencing, knowing that God is perfecting in me his work, teaching me to trust in him and to rely upon him completely. I know that God's thoughts towards me are of peace, not evil. and that God has a beautiful plan for my future. We are to give thanks, Paul said, unto God. Writing to the Colossians, he said, giving thanks unto the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the saints in light. It is God who has loved us and bestowed upon us the bountiful blessings, and thus our thanksgiving is to be given to him. But our only access to God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Elsewhere in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul said, for through him, by the Spirit, we have access to the Father. Writing to the Colossians, Paul said, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So, giving thanks for all things, at all times, unto God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this Thanksgiving season, as again we are preparing to celebrate the holiday and usually with traditional family gatherings, that in the preparation we don't get so caught up with the details of preparation. You know, we want the house to be perfect. We have all of these guests coming over. And so often we just work ourselves into a frazzle. We don't want, if they should happen to touch the top of the door molding, to find dust on their finger. So we go through the house. And let me say, if your guests start running their finger across the top of the door, send them home. You know, you don't want those kind of guests. But we're so concerned that, you know, they'll think that we're perfect, or they'll realize that we're not perfect, and we want them to think we're perfect, and the meal needs to be perfect, and, you know, we're worried about the whole thing coming together at the right time. Will the marshmallows burn on the top of the yams again this year, and will the beans be overdone, and oh, everybody's so slow getting to the table. The mashed potatoes are going to be cold. Oh, you know, and you're just Martha's, cumbered with so many things. Let's be Mary's this Thanksgiving. Let's just take time to really sit down and worship the Lord and giving thanks unto God for all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's make it a true Thanksgiving. Thankful unto him according to God's will. And in so doing, you'll be walking circumspectly, as the scriptures say. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, the many, many blessings, Lord, that daily you pour out upon our lives. Lord, help us to just take time to stop and consider what you have done, and consider, Lord, what you are and who you are, and give thanks, Lord, unto you continually for all things through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. When I was worthless, Lord, you bought me. When I was worthless, Lord, you bought me. When I was worthless, Lord, you bought me. And I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I really thank you. I just thank you all the days of my life. Well, let's get a running start on Thanksgiving so that by the time the day arrives, we'll just be filled with Thanksgiving and praise. If I had my way, I would make a proclamation for a National Gripe Day. And we would set aside the fourth Thursday of the month of November for gripes. And a person would have to just express all of their gripes and, you know, things that irritate them and bother them on that one day. And then they'd have to spend the rest of the year in Thanksgiving. We've got things turned around. And we need to be thankful all times.